If we win, I'm reading the paper in the cafe. If we lose, I'm in a dark room for probably 12 hours.
Just seeing pictures of myself places I hadn't seen them before, that at times made me a bit edgy.
We don't want to be known for a group that just loses, so we're not accepting losing.
I giggle at some of these comments from the experts, and they don't really know what's going on.
I think people can really see the way that we want to play because we think that it works and stacks up.
It's great fun. When you're winning, not when you miss goals after the siren. That's
your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
This is the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum. Thanks to Prosper. Get approval on your business loan in hours, not days. Go to prosper.com. That's prospa.com. And it is great to have Madge Ekdahl with us from the Kangaroos joining us in the Sanctum this morning. Good morning, Madge.
Morning, boys.
Great to have you in, mate, because we've been watching you with great interest this year, the way you've come into the game and you've got the new number on the back. I reckon it might be the change. And 38-1, you've come in, you've had a huge impact on the Kangaroos. Have you enjoyed your season so far this year with the Kangaroos?
To be honest, having number one on my back, I feel a bit lighter. No, it's been a good transition. Obviously, playing as a forward and ruck all my time at the club, and this year I've been a defender, and just having guys like Scott Thompson, Robbie Tarrant, and having my role simplified, it's been enormous. And continuity with training and having a strong preseason sets you up for a big year. So,
where did that conversation first come about? To move down back, because as you said, you've been playing forward and ruck in your 5 years previously at the Kangaroos, and all of a sudden you're a defender. How does that come about?
It was just a training. Scotty put me down back and played down back. Took a few marks. But previously, I've always thought about, you know, what if, and if I could play down back. And then I did a training and we had the chat, and it was around having a position that I can make my own. Mm. Obviously, we know how good Todd Golsan's going and Ben Brown up forward. And it just wasn't sustainable being in and out of the side and not having any continuity with footy. So there was an opportunity to make a position my own, and he said if you're willing to put in the work, and which I was willing to do because of the opportunity.
Yeah.
And having Josh Drummond as my backline coach, he's been pretty good. A guy who I really like to work with, and just had some things to work on during the preseason, and it came out in games, but I still got a long way to go. You get different matchups, and you learn from game to game what you can do and what you can't do. So I've still got a long way to go.
But I imagine having the consistency of position enables you to relax a little bit and just learn, as opposed to worrying about your spot or worrying about what you should be doing or whether or not you're playing well enough, that you're just in a position, you've got to know your role. And that would create some comfort, I suppose, as opposed to perhaps what's happened in the last 5 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess I had to earn my game first as a defender. So
yep.
Stringing a couple of games together, and my form warrant that I get a spot in the side. So, it's probably doing what's got me to this stage, and having that opportunity to play as a defender and being part of our best 22. So, I still got to keep working, watch some vision, watch other players, chat to the coaches. Scott Thompson, he's been someone that I admired for a long time, and he's having an outstanding season. So,
yes.
We sit down, look through vision, and talk about other players and how he's played them in the past, and just learn from him.
So how much time did you spend chasing around Ben Brown or Jared Waite through the preseason, and how important was that to giving you the confidence to know that you could play in that position?
Yeah, I mean, Brown, is one of the best forwards going around, and so is Waitey. But Brown in particular, I've just got... You just appreciate him as a player more because I've played on him, and he's just so mobile for a big bloke. You know, everyone thinks he's slow. Brown is not slow. He moves around, and the space that he creates for himself, it makes me appreciate the forwards, how hard it is to play that position, because potentially you've just got someone tagging you the whole time, and you've just got to create the space and still run and jump at the ball. But those guys were really good. Took me up the ground. trying to lose me and come back and mark the footy. So, no, it's good to have different players you can play on, you know, smaller players and taller players. But obviously, being versatile, you know, I can play on different matchups.
Is it easier being a defender than being a forward in your eyes?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy, but is
careful,
it easier?
Be careful.
Yeah. No, I think it's... They both have their challenges. Obviously, you've got to create space for yourself as a forward, and that's something I struggled with. I couldn't really use my strength, although I'm strong. But now down back, I'm finding it easier that I can use my strength, and I guess my focus is just the ball and the man. But the toughest part about it is when you play high and, you know, having to watch the ball and, you know, when they duck up and try and hit up on you. I think that's one of the hardest parts of being a defender.
Brad Scott has had a really good year with what he's been able to do on the field with North Melbourne from the coach's box. But what's the role been with you and him? Because he's been someone that's had a lot of belief in you for a long time now. Is it a really strong, strong relationship you've got, sort of not just in football, but just in life?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a pretty big supporter of me since day one. I think we've been there the same amount of time. He's been harder on me at times, which is great. You need that from your coach because, you know, I guess, you know, different personalities, you know what you can get and can't get out of your player. Where him, the belief that he's had in me that other people haven't, just backing me in, and he's always believed that if I had a strong preseason, continuity and with training and games, that there's no reason why I couldn't be in our best 22. And that's something he's always told me consistently. And I suppose I had to believe that myself. I've got the belief in my body now. And, you know, having the backing of your coach is enormous. Just goes a long way. So now all I have to do is do my part and, you know, he'll play me. So
you talk about him having belief in you, Brad Scott having belief in you, you having belief in yourself, but you sort of mentioned that maybe others didn't. Do you play, not trying to prove people wrong, but is that part of your personality that you want to, you know, prove, hey, I can do this, or is that not part of your personality makeup? You just go and do your thing?
Yeah, a little bit. I'd love to prove some people wrong that, you know, someone who's didn't grow up playing footy can come and match it up with, you know, potentially the best of the best, and AFL is, you know, the number one sport in this country. So, I want to prove those people wrong, but I also want to show other people that you can do it. So,
yeah.
Do you ever sit there and consider what you've achieved in football, just getting to the AFL in the first place, and the significant achievement that was, but also now playing the game and being a trailblazer for other Sudanese kids? Do you ever sit there and think about that?
When you're feeling a bit down, really, I think that's when it comes in as a motivation. Use that as a motivation when things aren't going well. You can sort of you know, feel sorry for yourself at times, but then you look back and see how far you've come. You're like, well, you know, I've come this far now. I'm like, I might as well keep going. So
makes sense to me. Did you ever think that perhaps it was coming to an end? Did you ever think that it was over at any stage through the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, the last couple of years. I mean, they were pretty tough in terms of, you know, being in and out of the side, and obviously injuries, and I mean, they're hard things to juggle. But then, you know, being at the footy club and continually being told that if you get your body right, you know, there's an opportunity to you know, to get it all going together, and I think that's why I've just kept being so resilient and trying to do everything right, because I know when I'm up and going that you know, I can match it with the best.
We're certainly showing that this year down back. If you just joined us, Magic Door is the voice you're listening to from the North Melbourne Football Club and the Prosper Inner Sanctum with us on the Breakfast Club. We've got plenty more to talk about him and the Kangaroos, because they take on the Bulldogs this week at Etihad Stadium on Saturday night. We'll talk about that. And the year so far, it's been something else from the Kangas. And I don't think many people expected it. We'll find out if Madge did after this on the Breakfast Club.
Exclusive access, behind closed doors, the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
I literally was just doing a little walk jog just to see how it was going to go and just didn't respond. So didn't do anything major, but I just knew that it wasn't feeling right. So nothing is bad, just was giving me some pretty solid warning signs. So I've obviously had a few injuries in my time, so just really listening to them and really respecting it.
Bloody hell, Jared Waite, 23 past 7. Stop getting injured. You're too good. Get out there for the Kangaroos. He's not playing this week. Who knows how long it's going to be? Up to 3 weeks, I reckon, with that dodgy little calf complaint. That was Jared Waite yesterday talking about his situation. You're in the Prosper Inner Sanctum on the Breakfast Club with Magic Dore, his teammate from the Kangaroos. Just cannot get him out there full-time, Madge.
Yeah. You know, he's just... It's been so good this year for us.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He is. We love Wadey. He's a pretty, pretty relaxed character. Yeah, I suppose with that injury, you kind of have to respect it with his age.
He's 62.
He plays like a 21-year-old.
He does, yeah. He's amazing.
No, he's good. I mean, it frees up Brownie when he's up there. And
Mason Wood.
Yeah, Mason Wood. And he can play on the wing for his size, so he's hard to match up on. And I think I was asked early in the week how he was going to go. I thought he was going to play, but it just shows how much I know about the medical staff.
So. Well, in fairness, that's not your job.
No, it's good. But I think, to be honest, I don't know. There's no time frame. I think he's just going to give him as much time as he needs. And when he's ready, he prepares well. So we just come back in.
So, Madge, we go into the Harmony game this week. Firstly, what does that mean to you? But then secondly, how long did it take for you to realise the influence that you can have over the Sudanese youth and potentially with the issues that some of those guys are going through, those younger kids are going through. I know you're voiced a few campaigns for that and have been very passionate about that. How important is this weekend's game for you?
Yeah, I mean, like I speak of importance of footy and stuff and, you know, the opportunity that I've been given, to be able to influence young kids. I think that's important as footballers because so many young kids that look up to us, see what we're doing, and social media is big. It's pretty big these days, and I suppose for me, it's a big passion of mine. I spoke about coming from another country and coming here, going through some of the challenges myself. I feel like I can relate to some of these kids, and having a voice because I think South Sudanese people or African people in general in Victoria, we don't really have a lot of people of influence. I feel like it's the right thing to do for me, and I suppose with the Harmony game this weekend between us and the Western Bulldogs, it's just one of those games where celebrating the diversity within our game and what makes our game great. We've got so many nationalities that come to the footy. Potentially, they're where our next fans are going to come from, our members. So the North Melbourne Football Club and the Western Bulldog, they do a great job within their community. We've got the huddle and they've got a similar thing down there. So it's a centre where young kids can come in, get help with homework, but I suppose we use footy, to attract them as well. So, it's an important game for me personally, but I think just for the footy club.
What are the challenges for young Sudanese kids, or you said before, African kids that come and live in Australia. What's the greatest challenge? Even in your situation growing up, what was the hardest thing?
Yeah, I mean, social inclusion, really. I guess most of them are refugees and migrants. They've gone through challenges of trying to come here and missed out on stability of a family home or, playing structured sports. It's not a fault of their own. They're just the circumstances, life has thrown at them. So coming here, trying to fit in, you look different from everyone else. You go to a different school. You try to learn how to speak English. So, and obviously some of these families come from low socioeconomic backgrounds, so financial issues. But I suppose they're all challenges, but if you're willing to work hard and find a passion of your own, there are opportunities that you can really make it in this country.
You're in your mid-20s now, almost late-20s now.
Yeah.
Is it easier for the kids who are teenagers now than it was for you when you started? Are you seeing a change in society that there is a greater acceptance and it's easier to assimilate into society?
Yeah, education's a big thing, educating people. about my culture and also this educating the migrants and refugees about the Australian culture. I think that's really important because I suppose their way of life doesn't really fit into the way of life here, and people don't really understand that. And I think that's an important part. And I wouldn't say becoming tolerant is probably not the word. I think we're just more accepting. So yeah.
Who introduced you to the game? So you talk about, because you came to the country when you were a teenager, weren't you? You were 13?
11.
11.
Yeah, yeah.
Who introduced you to the game of Aussie rules, and how important was that introduction for that inclusion that you talk about?
I was mates at school. I came here, went to an intensive English language school for 3 months, and then I started year seven, and, you know, I was coming home. I was having fights with other kids at school. Just wasn't fitting in. I was the only, you know, African kid at the school. My brother was a bit older than me, so I was having a really tough time. And when I come around year eight, you know, I met some new friends, and they were playing footy at lunchtime a fair bit. So they said, come over, kick with us. And we played inter-school sports. And from then on, they told me to come to their local footy club. And it just kept on rolling over, and I just found that I really enjoyed footy, and that's where it all started.
Are you seeing more, because I think traditionally African kids play soccer. Mm-hmm. You're seeing more with guys like you being that beacon, I suppose, sporting beacon, that they're more kids interested in the national game, into Aussie rules?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a few footy clubs over in the West. My local footy club, there's a huge influx of South Sudanese kids that play at that footy club, boys and girls. But also at soccer, some of the boys are doing really well. We had a few guys that are at Melbourne Victory that played in their grand final win. So I think the more role models that we can have, the more that those sort of issues are going to decrease.
Do you think more will play AFL level? We had a text asking you the question that. Who's the next one? Is there one coming through, or is there going to be more that are going to be good enough to play? I mean, Aaliyah is another one that, I mean, he's so good to watch. When he plays.
Got a good haircut. Yeah. How good's his haircut?
Mr. T.
Mr. T.
But are there more coming through?
Yeah, there are more coming through, especially, you know, the work that AFL Victoria does with some of the... with some of their squads that they have specific for multicultural kids. Their multicultural squads are really strong. But also, there's a kid at the Western Bulldogs by the name of Buku. So he's a really good kid as a person, but he's also, you know, pretty handy footballer. So I think, I'm not too sure if this year's his draft year or the year after,
this year.
So he's one kid that's coming through. Also, CJ at Hawthorn, so he got drafted last year, and that's someone who came through the multicultural squad program, and he was part of the NGA Next Generation Academy. So, there are a few kids that are coming through, but it takes a bit of time. But yeah, you've got to be patient.
And if we can get supporters before we let you go, because we are running out of time, unfortunately, we'll have to chat to you all day, Madge, to be honest. The Bulldogs game on Saturday night, the Harmony game at Etihad Stadium. What are we thinking? Because we're sitting in the eight at the moment. The year's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Can you maintain it, do you reckon?
Yeah, you can if you come. If you come with the right attitude and mentality to come and play. Obviously, we've just come off the bye, so and we had a pretty solid session yesterday. I think that's really important to come back. Feeling fresh, but just to keep reinforcing what makes us a good side. And I think you can't underestimate the Western Bulldogs. Obviously, they've had injuries, and you know, at this level, if you're not on any given day, you can be exposed pretty quickly. So we've just got to come and start well. So.
Well, Kangas fans have had plenty of opportunity, plenty of reason to get out there and support their boys this year. They are going gangbusters. Sitting inside the eight and Saturday night at Etihad Stadium against the Western Bulldogs for the Harmony game. You can see Madge in action doing his thing. Good on you, buddy. Nice to have you in for the program this morning. Good luck this weekend, and we'll certainly be watching for the rest of the season.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff.
Good stuff. Madge Akdor with us in the Prosper Inner Sanctum on The Breakfast Club. After the break, Scotty Gullen will get